Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai.
Bhakti Vai Bhava ki,
Jai.
Kantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giridas Maharaj ki,
Jai.
Janitai Gopri Manandi. What we discussed in our previous class.
One has to be attached to Paramahansa as well as Vrindavananda in order to ask them.
Last one. Anything else?
Nature of the material world is to be attached by hearing the pastimes of Purandara and Purandara attachment.
Any other points?
You need to relish the Lord. You need to relish, have a taste of the superior. It's very pleasurable. You need to enjoy the pleasure when you come to the temple or maybe a few blocks in the temple.
Good. Anything else?
The material body creates the next problem.
Any other points?
Prabhupada never says married life is like a last life, and if you want to come out of the start, then we should be attached to the holy life.
Grahastha life is one of the most dangerous positions in the material world because it is like a tiger in the form of, sun in the form of tiger and death in the form of hunter, always around grahastha. But if a person is attached to Krishna and makes his graha as relationship with Krishna, then you can transcend the material world easily.
Okay, when you two work it out, then please let us know.
When you chant here and do the bhakti worship simultaneously, bhakti worship is important. Otherwise, it can become dangerous.
Good.
King Prachino Bhagi asked him the Narad Muni about how he was doing the karma kanda kind of worship and then coming to someone. It's like people going to different other institutions and coming to the consciousness.
Anything else?
Can you do quite a bit during the past centuries? Because before entering the world, most of us were in the same. So we should start at the end.
Do something. Yeah, that sounds okay.
Let's say because all the past intellectuality is stored in the second body. And after some body, and so the benefit in the form of using, carries in the form of using and then suffering is basically.
Anything else? So we're saying this is from chapter 29. It is discussing the allegory which was explained by Narada Muni to the king, and Narada himself then gives a analysis of the allegory. Prabhupada has already done that for us in the purports, right, going through the different chapters from 25 to 28. But now Narada himself is also giving a brief description. So after doing that, Then he begins to describe another allegory, or a short one, about the danger of household life. And now tonight we'll finish the chapter from verses 70 to 85 or so. And we'll hear about the benefits of hearing this particular pastime. Then next week we'll go back to chapter 24, which is the song sung by Lord Shiva. And then we'll finish chapter 30 and 31 and finish the pastime of the Prachetas. And that will be the end of the fourth Ganto. Any other points?
Today you said reading, you wrote like that, writing essays and presentation. I asked you how to write the presentation and how to give the oral presentation.
Yeah, so what
you told me, like, remind me in the beginning of the class.
Okay, so what specifically did you want to know?
Like, how to give oral presentation, where to give.
And you know how to do the open book exam? So it means, did you get the subject matter, the topics? Yeah. So you have to write a 500 word essay. Right. Although most of the writers usually write a little bit more. Around about 500 words is good. Or a little bit more is okay. One or two pages. And then you can describe the topic. You can research the topic, write an essay on the topic, and then there needs to be an oral presentation. Now the oral presentation needs to be made to one of the group leaders, and Murali and Asita Raja are both not here for that. So maybe next week we'll have to look at working out who will give the oral presentations to which people. So if you remind me again next week, and hopefully they are here, then we can work it out. Okay, any other points? Okay. So beginning verse 70. As long as there exists the subtle material body composed of intelligence, mind, senses, sense objects, and the reactions of the material qualities, the consciousness of false identification and its relative objective, the gross body, exists as well. When the living entity is in deep sleep, when he faints, when there is some great shock on account of severe loss, at the time of death, and when the body temperature is very high, the movement of the life air is arrested. At that time, the living entity loses knowledge of identifying the body with the self. So, as we discussed last night, transmigration takes place through the subtle body. Our subtle body moves from one gross body to another. Now, we've had the same subtle body since we've been in the material world, millions of lifetimes. Same mind, same intelligence, same false ego. Now, this is carrying us to different lifetimes. Now, according to our desires, which we cultivate in each lifetime, then we shape our next body. So the body we have right now is due to the cultivation of the desires, or the desires that we cultivated in our previous lifetime. And now we've arrived with this particular body. And the desires we're cultivating in this lifetime, with this body, and in this mind, this will take us to our next destination, yeah? Next body. So, if you cultivate attachment to Krishna, then you will get a body like Krishna's. Such chit amunda vigraha, a body full of eternality, knowledge and bliss, in which you can directly serve Krishna in his eternal pastimes. So, if you purify your consciousness, then you can liberate yourself from this material world. So Krishna consciousness means purifying the subtle body, purifying the mind, the intelligence and the ego. And that will carry you to your next destination, which can then be spiritual. So the process of Krishna consciousness dissolves the gross body and the subtle body. Everything becomes gradually purified. So when you use the body in the service of Krishna, then the body becomes purified, becomes spiritual. Therefore, when a great Vaishnava passes away, a sannyasi, then we do not cremate the body. We preserve the body. Just like Srila Prabhupada's body was preserved in Vrindavan Dham, placed in his samadhi. If you go to Vrindavan, you see the samadhi of Prabhupada directly beneath his murti in his samadhi. Then his body is placed in that place, preserved with salt. They poured salt all over the body to preserve it. So, because the body has become completely purified in service to Krishna. So we purify this gross body and we purify the subtle body by devotional service. And when the subtle body becomes purified, the mind, the intelligence, the ego become purified, that will carry us to Goloka Vrindavan. But as long as your subtle body, your mind, your intelligence and your ego are attached to this world, you take birth again in this world. But when your body, mind and ego, when they become purified and attached to Krishna, then you will not take birth again in this world. You'll transcend, you'll go to the Goloka Dham. So any points so far? When one is a youth, all the 10 senses of the mind are completely visible. However, in the mother's womb or in the boyhood state, the sense organs and the mind remain covered. Just as the full moon is covered by the darkness of the dark moon night. So, what is it that keeps us bound in this material world? It is our desires. We have desire due to association with matter, then you develop material desire. So the material energy is very powerful. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs us, asatsanga tyag evaishnava achar, that a Vaishnava must be cautious of associating with the material energy and material people. Janasanga chaloyancha. That if you associate with material people, the material energy, the result will be you'll cultivate material desires. Right? It is very subtle. So therefore a devotee avoids materialistic association. Because if you associate too closely with the materialist, what will be the result? The result is that you will develop your material desires. You will become materialistic in consciousness. So therefore devotees are expected and encouraged to associate with saintly persons. Because by associating with pure devotees of Krishna, then we purify our consciousness and then our desires become spiritual. Just like devotee asked Prabhupada, how do I become a devotee? And Prabhupada said, then you must associate with the devotees. And Prabhupada said, how do you become a drunkard? You associate with the drunkards and you will become a drunkard. You associate with the devotees, you will develop devotional aspirations and desires. And if you associate with advanced devotees, you will advance more rapidly. Because advanced devotees are 100% engaged in Krishna's service. So by their association, we will develop the correct desires, a desire to serve Krishna. So basically we are products of our association. The better the association we get, the more we advance in Krishna consciousness, if we take advantage of that. Any points? Which devotee? No, because Rupa Goswami said if the devotee is more advanced, then you should serve the devotee. And you should respect the devotee. If the devotee is equal, you should make friendship and share in the six loving exchanges. And if the devotee is less advanced, then you should be compassionate and you should assist them in advancing in Krishna consciousness. So you associate with different devotees differently, not all the same. Does that answer you? Any other points? When the living entity dreams, the sense objects are not actually present. However, because one has associated with the sense objects, they become manifest. Similarly, the living entity with undeveloped senses does not cease to exist materially, even though he may not be exactly in contact with the sense objects. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that our desires are lying dormant within our consciousness. It's just a matter of time until they manifest. Just like in the children, you don't see all the desires. Because they are immature. But as soon as one becomes an adult, a teenager, and an adult, all the mature desires come forth in the consciousness. So all these desires are dormant within the consciousness. So we need to purify these desires. Remove those desires. Remove the material desires. And become just fixed on service to Krishna. Otherwise, Prabhupada explains that in your next life, you'll take up from where you left off in this life. If you have not ridden yourself of your material desires, in your next life, you'll start off again, and all those material desires will come back. So therefore, you have to remove them in this lifetime, so that you don't have to take birth again in this material world. Or if you do take birth again, you are not plagued by the same material desires. They are not harassing you or causing you trouble, all the desires that you had previously. Just like if your daughter is not married, and you have that desire, and then if you don't satisfy that desire in this lifetime, then what will take place? Come back again in the next lifetime, and still have to go through the same situation. Okay. So you have to purify these desires. You have to learn to surrender to Krishna. Rely on Krishna. Krishna will take care of everything. Okay. That is a test for every devotee. Okay. So, any points?
Kanaka Dasa, the devotee for whom in Udupi the Lord turned around to give him darshan, that Vaishnava thing, Kanaka Dasa, he has written one song in Kannada. Then he says, Asha Klesha Dosha Kemba Asti Odamudani, Yamana Pasha Padadadati, Nirtoshya, Santoshya. He says, Asha, all these desires, Klesha, all these different kinds of Klesha, Dosha. All those, don't be succumb to all that and sit on the pyre of where Yamaraj will come and burn you. Instead of that, become Nirtoshi, Santoshi, and go back to God.
Any other points? The five sense objects, five sense organs, the five knowledge acquiring senses in the mind are the 16 material expansions. These combine with the living entity and are influenced by the three modes of material nature. Thus the existence of the conditioned soul is understood. So, this is a description of how we are bound within this material world. The living entity enters the material world and becomes bound by the material body. So the material body is a network of these different senses, sense objects, material elements, like that, and they cover the soul. This is how we are covered. This is all described elaborately in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, how the soul becomes covered by the material energy. And then, when you become covered by the material energy, then the three modes of nature act upon you. And with the interaction of the three modes upon the material mind, the material body, then your material desires manifest and develop. And by association with the material energy, then you develop more and more desires. You implicate yourself further. you perform more karma. Your karmic reactions are stored within your subtle body, and then you have to take birth again and again to fulfill your desires and to receive the reactions for your previous activities. So this is how the conditioned soul becomes entrapped in this world. So Prabhupada says that by the process of devotional service, you need to reverse the situation. We got ourselves into a lot of trouble by coming into this material world. We have so many problems. Our life is full of so many problems. At least we think they are problems. Right? But by reversing the situation, we've come into the material world, now we realize we're in the state, now we have to go out, go in the opposite direction. So now we have to cultivate bhakti, or devotional service to Krishna, and that will carry us out of the material world. It will purify our contaminated consciousness. Any points?
Vritrasura, when he is fighting with Indra, he says, he calls the body Gramya Pasha. Pasha is a rope, the material rope which binds us to this material. The rope which binds us to this material.
Okay. By virtue of the processes of the subtle body, the living entity develops and gives up gross bodies. This is known as the transmigration of the soul. Thus, the soul becomes subjected to different types of so-called enjoyment, lamentation, fear, happiness, and unhappiness. So, Prabhupada says that by misuse of our independence, we came into this material world. Mm-hmm. Originally we were with Krishna. Prabhupada says, originally we were all Krishna conscious. But then, our independence became misused. Because Krishna does not force anyone to love him. Love must be given freely, independently. So Krishna does not force it. So he gives you independence, and when you misuse that independence or choose to place that loving propensity on another object other than Krishna, then that misuse of independence takes you into the material world. So we've come into the material world, and what is our defect? That we are looking away from Krishna, and we are trying to repose or place that loving propensity onto so many other objects besides Krishna. We become attached to this, and we become attached to that. This person, this object, like that. And therefore, we forget Krishna. So the process of bhakti reverses the whole situation. Prabhupada says, it is just like touching the switch. And you walk into the room, and the room is dark. And then what happens? We touch the switch. And when you touch the switch, everything becomes illuminated. So when you touch that one switch, which means you place your love onto Krishna, then everything becomes illuminated. Everything becomes clear. It makes sense. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhapa. That Krishna is like the sun. Maya is like darkness. So wherever there is Krishna, there is no Maya. Wherever there is sun, there is no darkness. So Krishna is all pure. So when you repose that loving propensity back onto Krishna, then the soul immediately becomes happy. Prabhupada said it is like reconnecting after so many lifetimes of being disconnected to Krishna. Just like if you stop coming to the Bhakti Vaibhav course, then what happens? You become disconnected from Krishna. Right? And then how do you feel? You don't feel very happy. And then when you come back to the Bhakti Vaibhav course, then you feel reconnected. Right? And you become happy once again. Right? So we need to go to the eternal Bhakti Vaibhav course in Goloka Vrindavan, which is conducted by Krishna's eternal associates. In the spiritual world, everyone is always speaking Krishna Katha. So when you go back to the spiritual world, you associate with the devotees who are always speaking about Krishna. And that is the purpose of this course, to train us to get a taste to always hear about Krishna. And when you go back to the spiritual world, then you can hear Krishna Katha to your full satisfaction, all day and all night. Any points? Okay. The caterpillar transports itself from one leaf to another by capturing one leaf before giving up the other. Similarly, according to his previous work, the living entity must capture another body before giving up the one he has. This is because the mind is a reservoir of all kinds of desires.
A living entity too much absorbed in material activity becomes very much attracted to the material body. Even at the point of death, he thinks of this present body and the relatives connected to it. Thus he remains fully absorbed in the bodily conception of life. So much so that even at the point of death, he abhors leaving his present body. Sometimes it is found that a person on the verge of death remains in a coma for many days before giving up the body. This is common among so-called leaders and politicians who think that without their presence, the entire country and all society will be in chaos. This is called Maya. Political leaders do not like to leave their political posts, and they either have to be shot by an enemy or obliged to leave by the arrival of death. By superior arrangement of a living entity is offered another body. But because of his attraction to the present body, he does not like to transfer himself to another body. Thus, he is forced to accept another body by the laws of nature.
Thank you, Rahul. You finished that.
Prakriti kriya manani gunaitamani prabhasa ahankar vimuratma prakramani kumanete. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities, thus that are in actuality carried out by the nature. Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, 27th verse. Material nature is very strong, and the material modes force one to accept another body. This force is visible when the living entity transmigrates from a superior body to an inferior body. One who acts like a dog or hog in the present body will certainly be forced to accept the body of a dog or hog in the next life. A person may be enjoying the body of a prime minister or president, but when he understands that he will be forced to accept the body of a dog or hog, he chooses not to leave the present body. Therefore, he lies in coma many days before death. This has been experienced by many politicians at the time of death. The conclusion is that the next body is already determined by superior control. The living entity immediately gives up the present body and enters another. Sometimes in the present body, the living entity feels that many of his desires and imaginations are not fulfilled. Those who are overly attracted to their life situation are forced to remain in a ghostly body and are not allowed to accept another ghost body. Even in the body of a ghost, they create disturbances for neighbors and relatives. The mind is the prime cause of such a situation. According to one's mind, different types of bodies are generated, and one is forced to accept them. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 6, verse, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, tyajate ante kalibharam, tam tam evite kauntarya, sadatar bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state is attained without fail. Within one's body and mind, one can think as either a dog or God, or a God, and next life is offered to him accordingly. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verse 27.
What are the points?
Purusha prakriti sohi bhunte prakritijan guna karnam guna sandos asya tadasya yonam janmasuna. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with the material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. The living entity may transmigrate to either a superior or inferior body according to his association with the modes of material nature. If he associates with the mode of ignorance, he gets the body of an animal or an inferior man. But if he associates with the mode of goodness or passion, he gets the body of tolerance. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, 18th verse. Udvam gacchati sattvastha madhye tishyanti rajasa jaghaniyam guna vrittista adav gacchanti tamasam. Those situated in the modes of goodness, gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planet, and those in the mode of ignorance go down into the hellish planet, world. The root cause of one's association is the mind. This great Krishna consciousness movement is the greatest boon to human society, because it is teaching everyone to think always of Krishna by exhibiting devotional service. In this way, at the end of life, one may be transferred to the association of Krishna. This is technically called Nitya Lila Pravistha, entering into the planet Gora Vrindavan. Bhagavad Gita's 18th chapter, 55 verse explains, Bhakti Man Abhijanati Yavan Yash Chasmi Tatvada Tato Man Tatvato Natva Vishate Tat Anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service, and when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. After the mind is completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, one can enter the planet known as Goloka Vrindavan. To enter the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to understand Krishna. The process of understanding Krishna is devotional service. After understanding Krishna as He is, one can become eligible to enter Krishna Loka and associate with Him. The mind is the cause of such an exalted position. The mind can also get one a body like those of dogs and hogs. To observe the mind always in Krishna consciousness is therefore the greatest perfection of human life.
Thank you. So what are the points? What you're thinking about. So what do you spend your day thinking about? Are you thinking about Krishna? Or what are you thinking about? So, any other points?
Well, a question for you. There is mention of the people who are in the leadership positions, who enjoy a lot of pain and power, and when their time comes, so they see what's going to happen to the next body, and they don't really want to leave the current body because they will lose all the power with it. But is it also the time of death is certain? It doesn't matter if you like going there or not, it doesn't matter. So what that coma is? So are we extending the time period, or why? Actually, then the condition short should be helpless. There should be nothing like karma. So there should be no resistance on his part because he is helpless, he will be evicted.
Yeah, so it must be somewhere close to that time, that final time. I don't know if it's typical what happens, but I mean, it's near the time of death, then when it's very attached, then you may go into the karma, extend the life to some degree. Because they do not want to leave the body, they're attached to the body. Krishna allows it to happen somehow. Any other point?
Radha Govind Maharaj, when he was explaining at the pastime of Vasudev carrying Krishna and going from Mathura to Gokul, he says how all the obstacles were cleared because he was carrying Krishna. So also if you are carrying Krishna in our heart, all the obstacles for us going back to Godhead will be removed. And because most of us are in grihastha life, in our heart we carry those whom we are tending for our family members. So if our anxiety is for us to make them Krishna conscious, and if there are obstacles on that path, if we are carrying them with that anxiety to make them Krishna conscious, then that anxiety is also.
Any other points? So Krishna says, yam yam vapi smaram bhagam. Whatever you think of at the time of death, that state you will attain without fail. So this is the science of transmigration of the soul. That if you are thinking of anything material at the time of death, then you must take birth again to fulfill that material desire. But if you are thinking of Krishna at the time of death, Krishna says, you will come to me. And you will not return again to this material world. So the whole purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to divert our attention to Krishna. So that we always think of Krishna and that we never forget Krishna. That is the goal of Krishna consciousness. So this requires training and practice. So to always think of Krishna, we need to be trained. Therefore, we associate with more advanced Vaishnavas. And the more advanced devotees, they train us how to think of Krishna. We observe them. We see their example. We see where their consciousness is by their activities and by their speech. And by that advanced association, we also learn what it means to become Krishna conscious. So this is how we become trained. So we need to get the association of advanced devotees. So you can say, I don't get the association of advanced devotees so often, so therefore you should listen. Every day we can listen to the advanced devotees. We can take the association through the Vani. We can listen to the lectures. We can read Prabhupada's books. So Prabhupada said, my books are better than me. Which means that, one meaning is, that by reading Prabhupada's books, we can associate with Prabhupada under any time, any place, any circumstance. That is the potency of reading Prabhupada's books, or listening to the lectures of our spiritual masters, some advanced devotees. So in this way, by that kind of association, then we develop spiritual desire. And by developing spiritual desire, then we can transcend this material world. Any points? As long as we desire to enjoy sense gratification, we create material activities. When the living entity acts in the material field, he enjoys the senses. And while enjoying the senses, he creates another series of material activities. In this way, the living entity becomes entrapped as a conditioned soul.
Why in the subtle body we change any plans to enjoy sense gratification?
Hmm?
These plans are recorded in the school of one's mind and bija, the roots of total activities. In conditioned life, the living entity creates a series of bodies, one after another, and this is called karma bandhanam. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 3.9, ekyata sarva netra sokoyam karma bandhanam. If we act only for the satisfaction of Vishnu, there is no bondage due to material activity. If we act otherwise, we become entrapped by one material activity after another. Under these circumstances, it is to be supposed that by thinking, feeling and willing, we are creating a series of future material bodies. In the words of Bhakti Vinoda Thakur, Samadhi karma kale pari bhavanava jale, the living entity falls into the ocean of karma bandhana as a result of past material activities. Instead of plunging oneself into the ocean of material activity, one should accept material activity only to maintain body and soul together. The rest of one's time should be devoted to engaging in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In this way, one can attain relief from the reactions of material activity.
Any points here?
We have to pull ourselves away from the material activity which we know will pull us down. But I think that needs a lot of association and great willpower.
Which you'll get by getting association with advanced devotees. So, Prabhupada says that we should avoid karma bandhana. Karma bandhana means becoming bound up by karma in this world. Because everyone in this world is bound by their karmic activities. Everyone is performing materialistic activities. And what is the result of performing material activities? We become bound in this material world. So, a devotee must be intelligent to avoid karma bandhana. So it means that we have to learn to avoid those activities which will bind us in this material world. Just like in your home, all of us are vegetarian. We do not eat any food which is contaminated, which we cannot offer to Krishna. But then you have to take it a step further. Right? Devotees should also not wear leather items. Because they're also from the same industry which kills the animals. When they kill the animal for their meat, then they take their leather to make the shoes and the belts and the different wallets and all the different things. So devotees also have to practice ahimsa, which means avoiding these things also. Because there are reactions also. And the soap that you use when you're in the shower, that soap, you have to make sure it is the vegan soap or the vegetarian soap. It does not have any of the animal products in it like that. And your toothpaste and your washing liquid, everything practically these days. You have to be very careful, otherwise you are in the cycle of karma bandhana. You become bound by material activity. You're supporting the industries which do these things. So you have to be very careful. You have to practice ahimsa or non-violence. And you have to make sure that none of your activities, none of the products you are using, are causing harm to other living entities. So devotees are very conscientious about these things. Even like in New Zealand, then Dave Marita Swami made a rule that his disciples can only drink ahimsa milk, which means they cannot drink milk from the supermarket, because the milk from the supermarket is coming from the cows, which are then, once they're finished milking, they just send them to be slaughtered. That's the milk that we drink every day. So Dave Marita Swami, he made a rule that none of his disciples can drink the milk from this industry. So then what happened is, after 12 months, one of his disciples brought cows and started milking the cows and sells the milk to all the other devotees. Now everyone drinks ahimsa milk, milk which is not causing any violence, just not supporting the slaughterhouse industry. So these things you can consider in your life. In the future at New Nandagram, our plan is to milk the cows so that then we can provide milk for the farm, and then hopefully maybe for the temple, and maybe even for the other devotees at some point in time. Just like I was just up at New Govardhan last week, and they're milking about 7 cows at the moment, producing about 35 litres of milk a day. So that's enough for the deities, and then a little more some devotees can buy also. So this is the way that the world was previously. People would not they would refrain from activities which would bind them to this material world. These days it's very difficult. Practically almost everything we do, there's some reaction involved. So you have to minimize that as much as you can. So you do not perform karma unnecessarily, because karma binds one to this material world. Any points?
In the of devotion says devotional service cuts even a common sin in the form of a seed also.
The bija. Any other points?
Devdutt Maharaj talks about desire and pleasure. These lectures.
What does it mean?
So, what you should be desiring. So, like we talk about time management, we talk about desire management. How to desire the right things.
Good. Anything else? three cows, one bull left. They're very old. So there's no milk coming from them. The Prabhupada said that because we protect our cows, so therefore we do not kill them. We just let them live peacefully. Like that. So that is cow protection. So the farm is being used to protect the cows. Like that. And in the future we would like, our desire is that we get new cows and we can milk them to offer to milk to the deities. Maybe in the future. Any other points? You should always know that this cosmic manifestation is created, maintained, and annihilated by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, everything within this cosmic manifestation is under the control of the Lord. To be enlightened by this perfect knowledge, one should always engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. The great sage Maitreya continued. The supreme devotee, the great saint Narada, thus explained to King Prachina Bahi the constitutional position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. After giving an invitation to the king, Narada Muni left to return to Sivaloka. In the presence of his ministers, the saintly king, Prachina Bahi, left orders for his sons to protect the citizens. He then left home and went off to undergo austerities in a holy place known as Gampil Ashram.
The word Prajasatka is very important in this verse. When the kindly king Prachinabhati was induced by the great sage Narada to leave home and check to a devotional service of the Lord, his sons had not yet returned from their austerities in the water. However, he did not wait for their return but simply left messages to the effect that his sons were to protect the mass of citizens. According to Viraraghava Acharya, such protection means organizing the citizens with the specific division of the four varnas and four ashramas. It was the responsibility of the royal order to see that the citizens were following the regulatory principles of the four varnas, namely Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra, and the ashramas, namely Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa. It is very difficult to rule citizens in a kingdom without organizing this varnashrama dharma. To rule the mass of citizens in a state and keep them in a complete progressive order is not possibly simply by passing laws every year in a legislative assembly. The varnashrama dharma is essential in a good government. One class of men, the Brahmana, must be intelligent and Brahmanically qualified. Another class must be trained in administrative work, Kshatriya. Another in mercantile business, Vaishya. And another simply in labor, Sudra. These four classes of men are already there according to nature. But it is the government's duty to see that all four of these classes follow the principles of their varnas methodically. This is called abhirakshana or protection. It is significant that when Maharaja Prachinabhati was convinced of the goal of life through the instruction of Narada, he did not wait even a moment to see his son's return, but left immediately. There were many things to be done upon the return of his sons, but he simply left them a message. He knew what his prime duty was. He simply left instruction for his sons and went off for the purpose of spiritual advancement. This is the system of Vedic civilization. Sridhara Swami informs us that Kapilashrama is located at the confluence of the Ganges and the Bay of Bengal, a place known now as Ganga Sagar. This place is still famous as a place of pilgrimage, and many millions of people gather there every year, on the day of Makara Sankranti and take bath. It is called Kapilashrama because Lord Kapila lives there to perform his austerities and penances. Lord Kapila promoted the Sankhya system of philosophy.
So any points here? So we say that according to one's nature, one must be engaged. So the king, when he left, he gave the instruction, which he left to his sons, to engage everyone in Varnashram Dharma. This is engaging people according to their nature. So even for devotees who are engaged in devotional service, devotees, in order to be satisfied and in order to make progress in service, they need to be engaged according to their nature. So everyone has particular propensity of that. So for myself, I like to do brahminical activity. I like to teach the shastra. I like to give classes. I'm happy just to give class. So this is acting according to one's nature. Of course, as devotees, we have to do whatever is necessary to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So we do all sorts of activities. But one progresses nicely when one acts according to one's nature, when one gets purified in one's consciousness. So you need to identify what is your nature by speaking to your authorities. And they will help you to understand what is your nature, what is your propensity. And you also have to identify it yourself. You have to learn what is it that you are good at. And then do whatever you are good at in Krishna's service. Everyone has talents, everyone has abilities. So whatever talent you have, whatever ability you have, then you use that in Krishna's service and you become purified. Krishna says in the Gita, it is better to perform your own duty imperfectly than to do another's duty perfectly. So one must learn to act according to one's nature. And then one becomes purified in consciousness. Then Prabhupada mentions later in the purport that at some point in time we must renounce this material world. So at the age of 50 you must become more renounced. You must make a conscientious decision at the age of 50 to become more renounced and more fixed in devotional service. If you do not do this, then the time of death will come very quickly. And you'll miss your opportunity. So don't miss your opportunity. Of course, you can begin at any time. You don't have to wait till you're 50 to become serious about Krishna consciousness. But if you get to the age of 50 and you've not become serious, then you should become very serious. And use your final years to make as much spiritual advancement as you can. So, any points?
Can you tell me how you can have more surrender?
How what?
You are saying that you have become more serious and more surrender. How you can become more serious and more surrender?
Yeah, follow in the footsteps of your devotee husband. Are you happy with that one? Do you want anything?
But something like, you know, what I can do on my own?
Absorb yourself in the process of Krishna consciousness. So it means you follow the instruction of the spiritual master. Whatever personal instructions you receive from the guru, then you observe those instructions very carefully. And you observe especially days like Ekadashi and Janmashtami. Very carefully. Okay. Janmashtami is coming, so you do special services for Krishna. Everyone should do special service. Everyone should take up some special service for Krishna on Janmashtami. You should do more than what you normally do. On Janmashtami, you should give up all your selfishness. So much of our time, we just worry about ourselves. On Janmashtami, you give up all your personal interests and just serve Krishna. That is the only desire of the devotees on Janmashtami, the most auspicious day. Any points?
I would like to mention today's morning class point you were mentioning. At least on Janmashtami day, let us behave like pure devotees. Let us be like pure devotees. That's what you were mentioning at the end of the class.
Yeah, then try your best to offer Krishna your very best. Like that. Because we were not offering pure devotional service. But we should try to offer him pure devotional service. Any other point?
So one day, in the morning class, you were telling that the main two reasons are fallen of the devotee. You just shared that your guru or the guru and formation of some of us. And the first one was that we are not, the person is not properly settled in his nature or in his ashrama. And according to the second,
I also can't remember. I remember saying it, but I can't remember what I said.
It's the same thing. The body of Varnashrama is there, but one has to follow the Varnashrama and start going with this.
Yeah, yeah. It's necessary to act according to your nature. Otherwise, you do devotional service, but you're frustrated. Like, if I go and just wash the pots, if that's my only service, I'll become very frustrated. It's not my nature. Some devotees, they can do that. That's their nature to do that service. But I have a different nature. So you have to act according to your nature. Whatever you're best at doing, then you do that, but you do it for Krishna. That's your nature. Whatever you enjoy doing the most, and whatever you do the best, then you do that for Krishna. Just like my favorite service is giving class. So I try to give class for Krishna. That's my the way I try to serve Krishna. Any service we do, all services are equal, but if you act according to your nature, you'll be more satisfied, you'll be more inspired in your service. Any other points? Okay. Having undergone austerities and penances at Kapila Ashram, King Prachinna Bahi attained full liberation from all material designations. He constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord and attained a spiritual position qualitatively equal to that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we'll read the purport. This is also a very interesting purport. Sharon, do you want to read?
There is special significance in the word Samyataram Agar. The king attained the position of possessing the same status or the same form as that of the Lord. This definitely proves that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a person. In his impersonal feature, He is the rays of his transcendental body. When a living entity attains spiritual perfection, he also attains the same type of body known as Sachidananda Vigraha. This spiritual body never mixes with the material element. Although in conditional life, the living entity is surrounded by material elements, earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence and ego, he remains always aloof from them. In other words, the living entity can be liberated from the material condition at any moment, provided that he wishes to do so. The material environment is called Maya. According to Krishna, Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye pratabhyante maya metam tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter 14th verse. Should I continue? As soon as the living entity engages in the loving, in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he immediately attains freedom from all material conditions. Sa gunan samati chaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. In the material state, the living entity is on the jiva putta platform, but when he renders devotional service to the Lord, he is elevated to the brahma putta platform. On the brahma putta platform, the living entity is liberated from material bondage and he engages in the service of the Lord. In this verse, the word dhira is sometimes read as dhira. Actually, there is not very much difference. The word dhira means sober and dhira means hero. One who is struggling against Maya is a hero, and one who is sober enough to understand his position is a dhira. Without becoming sober or heroic, one cannot attain spiritual salvation.
Any points? Anything else? So Prabhupada is emphasizing that we need to become Dira and Dira. Means that you have to become sober and heroic. So it means that to conquer the material energy requires a great deal of energy. You know, just like very powerful heroes, they have conquered the material energy. Like Srila Prabhupada, like Arjuna, like Hanuman. One time Prabhupada said, the greatest heroes in history were Vaishnavas, Hanuman and Arjuna. They both won the battle of Kurukshetra and Lanka. So, Prabhupada said that we want Hanuman, we want Arjuna, or we want no one. Meaning that all the devotees must become following the footsteps of Hanuman, Arjuna. Yeah, you must perform Herculean tasks for Krishna. Yeah, this should be the nature of the devotee. Because to become successful in devotional service requires a great deal of sincerity and effort. And you will have to face many obstacles. So to be successful, you have to become a great hero. Which also means you have to become very sober, dhira. Means do not become bewildered by the material world. But become fixed in devotional service to Krishna. So that you will not droop. Come down a little bit. Okay. So it means that you will not become bewildered by the material energy. You will stay focused under all circumstances. Not that you become inconsistent or unsteady in the face of opposition. If you're a serious devotee, you won't become unsteady. You see devotees who are not so serious, then when they meet with some obstacle, then they become very unsteady in devotional service. Devotees should be very fixed in their devotional service. Do not become distracted by Maya. Any other points? My dear Vidura, one who hears this narration concerning the understanding of the living entity's spiritual existence as described by the great sage Narada, or who relates it to others, will be liberated from the bodily conception of life. This narration spoken by the great sage Narada is full of the transcendental fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, this narration, when described, certainly sanctifies this material world. It purifies the heart of the living entity and helps him attain his spiritual identity. One who relates this transcendental narration will be liberated from all material bondage and will no longer have to wander within this material world. The allegory of King Paranjana described herein according to authority was heard by me from my spiritual master, and it is full of spiritual knowledge. If one can understand the purpose of this allegory, he will certainly be relieved from the bodily conception and will clearly understand life after death. Although one may not understand what transmigration of the soul actually is, one can fully understand it by studying this narration. So the point of this past life is to make one detached from the material world. And one who studies this past life very carefully will become detached from this material world. So you should study very carefully and in depth this pastime of Paranjana. And by studying it, then you will become detached from the material world. That is the purpose of it. So it should be studied very carefully. Okay. Now there's a few extra verses which are added here to finish the chapter. As Prabhupada says, according to Vijay Dwaj Tirtha, one who belongs to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, the first two of the following verses appear after verse 45 of this chapter, and the remaining two verses appear after verse 79. So, a desire to maintain body, wife and children is also observed in animal society. The animals have full intelligence to manage such affairs. If a human being is simply advanced in this respect, what is the difference between him and an animal? One should be very careful to understand that this human life is attained after many, many births in the evolutionary process. A learned man who gives up the bodily conception of life, both gross and subtle, will, by the enlightenment of spiritual knowledge, become a prominent individual spirit soul, as the Supreme Lord is also. So, this verse is instructing us that we should take advantage of the human form of life, because it is very rare to become a human being. Most of the living entities on this earth are not human beings. Only a few of us are human beings. There's only 6 billion of us. Right? That's not very many. Right? Just in Melbourne, there's probably 6 billion flies. And on the whole of earth, there are 6 billion humans. So it's very rare that you become a human being. So now you have this exceptional and rare form, please take advantage of it. Become Krishna conscious in this lifetime. Prabhupada says, do not waste time. If a living entity is developing Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, and if his spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, he will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence. So Prabhupada emphasizes in the purport that you must preach Krishna consciousness. That is the mood of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We are Goshya Nandi, which means we are preachers. So you must learn this knowledge and you must give it to others. That is the point of being a devotee. No? The more you give Krishna to others, the more you receive Krishna yourself. So you must preach, you must teach others about Krishna and assist those devotees who are giving Krishna to others. If a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, and if his spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, he will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence. Should I just read it? I'm a little bit tired. Everything happening within time, which consists of past, present and future, is merely a dream. That is the secret understanding in all Vedic literature. So, everything you're going through in this material world is simply a dream. Therefore, Jiv Jago, Gaura Chandra. Perfect timing. You couldn't wait 2 minutes till I finished the class. Perfect timing. Just give me 2 minutes, Ananya. So, Jiv Jago, Gaura Chandra, Bole. Lord Chaitanya is calling out, wake up, sleeping souls, wake up, sleeping souls. How long will you sleep in the lap of that witch called Maya? It is time to wake up from your dream. How do you wake up from your dream? You chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the process. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Okay, so 2 days until Janmashtami. So tomorrow night, take rest early, get up early, and fully absorb yourself. Now, you should chant extra rounds, it is Janmashtami. You should do extra service, it is Janmashtami. And you should chant one mantra all day. Idam Krishnaya, Idam Namama. Everything is for Krishna, nothing is for me. Just on one day of the year, give everything to Krishna. Do as much service as you can for Krishna. Give Krishna everything. Do the most, whatever you have, the best things that you have, you give them to Krishna. Offering the most special service. And don't think about yourself at all. Just for one day, and see what it does to your consciousness. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Krishna Janmashtami ki jai.